Joining us now, though, one of our game's best and most knowledgeable voices on the line, friend of the show, joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, Harold Reynolds, MLB Network. Harold, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good. Tone, how are you?
Fantastic, fantastic.
We're watching your network right now, Harold.
Uh-oh, what's on?
We're watching you got highlights of the Diamondbacks and the Rockies. It's 10-10. I mean, this is what baseball's all about, right?
Yeah.
I'm actually down here looking at video, getting ready for the draft. So, yes, I see the network on the air with Bell, and you got they're showing a little rip of guys bombing some balls right now.
They were. I want to start with the hottest topic of the day, and that's the netting for fans. Obviously, yesterday you had an incident in Houston where a kid gets hit by a line drive. And I kind of want to see where you're at on this because, you know, one of the things that was mentioned by Bryant yesterday was the fact that there should be netting, you know, throughout the entire part of the yard with – as it pertains to foul territory, where do you come down on this?
Well, I think when you start seeing guys that actually went over to Japan and played and they come back, they start getting a different perspective. You know, I was always one that was like, hey, foul ball, fan gets it, that's fantastic. Then I went to All-Star trip to Japan, and they got netting all the way around the whole field. Mm. And those balls are hit so dang hard. I lean towards having the netting as much as possible. If I take my kids to the game, I make sure I'm behind the screen and out of sight of a foul ball because it gets on you quick. And personal experience real quick, Darnell Coles hit a foul ball one day in Seattle. We were playing like third deck. He fouled the ball off and hit a kid. And we were at the hospital till about 3:30 in the morning with her just to make sure she was going to be okay. So it doesn't only affect just the fan, but the players get shook up about it, too.
Yeah, as we saw yesterday.
Yeah, no question about that. Yeah. Do you think there would be any pushback at all from fans who say, you know, I like to try and get a foul ball at games. Yes, I want to be protected, but at the same time, I don't want every foul ball bouncing back out onto the field. Or is that really kind of a silly excuse when it comes to protecting people?
No, I think you'll get pushback regardless. You know, part of that is the fan experience of catching a foul ball and be able to go home and say they caught one.
Yeah.
You know, we used to always joke playing in Yankee Stadium, you could hit the ball as hard as you could and nobody got hurt, you know?
Yeah.
Never
make
sure they snatched that ball. But, yeah, you're always going to get – one side is going to argue over it, but hopefully they'll figure out what is best. And, you know, to have it extended to where it's at right now, it took about – 15 years to get to that point.
Yeah.
So we'll see if this continues to move it on. But we do have a commissioner who's quick to make adjustments when he sees it needing to be made. And, you know, he may move on that real quick.
Harold Reynolds, MLB Network, joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. And speaking of the commissioner, Harold, he couldn't have been too pleased with the report that came out today. Major League Baseball attendance down 1.4%, which would be the fourth straight year that has dropped. Is this something that baseball needs to worry about? I mean, four straight years, I know that percentage is small, but you want to see the game growing, not going the opposite way.
Well, I think he's already well aware of that, and I think because of all the conversation you've heard about pace of game, I think we should have been phrasing it maybe a little bit different, not pace of game, but ball in play.
Yeah.
You know, and with the strikeouts and walks that are occurring in baseball, you know, we're going sometimes 4 minutes without a ball being in play, and that is just way too long. And so hopefully players start hitting the ball a little bit more, a little more aggressive. It's just a different style of game where guys want to get deep in counts and they're not worried about striking out. And as a result, the game is slowed down. There's not guys going first to third. Stolen bases are down. There's no action, and it's just home runs and strikeouts, and that makes it very tough to watch and to keep somebody's attention. So that might be why we're seeing a little bit of attendance decline.
Harold, let me follow up on that. I mean, you will have some GMs and you know, guys who are running organizations tell you that those things that are exciting to watch, having the ball in play, stolen bases, guys going for first or third, doesn't help win championships. What do you say to that?
Well, I think you got to look at the last few winners, and it has.
Yeah.
And you look at the Astros; they led the league in strikeouts. They changed their style and all of a sudden they're in two World Series.
Right.
You look at the Red Sox, you know, Joey Cora, you can't hit under 300, or you can't hit 200 and be on our team and win. And they're putting the ball in play, hitting runs, doing everything else. They win a World Series. You look at the Kansas City Royals. We're going to out steal bags. We're going to put pressure on the defense. They win a World Series. So there is some teams that have won have been able to do that, and I'm talking about recently in the last 4 or 5 years.
Excellent stuff, as always, from Harold Reynolds, MLB Network. I had to ask you about the MLB Network real quick. We always talk baseball, but you've been there for, I don't know, how long now? I mean, because I remember when this all started.
About 11th year.
11 years, wow. Yeah. And I remember when it started. I mean, there probably was some question in your mind, everybody's mind. Are we ready for an MLB Network and baseball all the time? And I just love how the whole thing is developed and what you guys put together and the shows that are on and the highlights and the analysis and Quick Pitch. I never miss Quick Pitch, by the way, every single night. Tell the young ladies they do an unbelievable job narrating those highlights. But has the MLB Network been a pleasant surprise for you in the 10 years you've been there?
Oh, I think it's been fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, beyond what anybody could imagine here and watch. You know, it's changed everything. I'm getting a weather alert on my phone, so apologize.
Okay,
that's
okay.
You cut out on us for a second.
Our weather has been ridiculous out here. We had tornado warnings the other night.
Wow.
This is in Secaucus, right?
Flash flood warnings. Oh, it's been, right in Secaucus, but in the whole region out here. You're seeing a lot of games get washed out. I know the Yankees are already called, and you know, it's raining all over the place out here on the east, so hopefully we can get this weather turned around. But no, the network has been cool. I think the NFL Network has really learned and grown from being able to watch our network, and I think it's changed the way people view TV. And you see ESPN trying to do a lot of our stuff, and, you know, with the live updates and look-ins and things like that. Tony Petitti, who was the CEO and president of the network, he's now the CEO of baseball. When he first came here, his thought was, you know, he was at CBS and he helped create that March Madness when we finally went to showing him the last 20 seconds of a game. Let's go to another one. It's tied right now. You know, that was his mindset. And he said, if I can do that with baseball, then we got something. And that was the mindset of with the live look-ins and everything we do here.
Harold, one more before we let you get out of here. I got to ask a little bit about the Padres. This division probably, in all likelihood, is out of reach for them. But do you see them being able to stay in this long enough to actually make a push for this one of these wild card spots?
I think they got a shot to be a wild card team. You know, it's what's interesting is I really think they're on the rise, man. I love what they're doing out there, how they've turned this thing around quickly. Manny's been a great addition. I know he hasn't played like lights out yet. But just watching take ground ball, I'll pay to see that all.
Right, you're in line.
That dude is ridiculous. But Tatis's injury, you get him back on the field. But just what they're doing and the minor league system, how they stocked it. But I think what will be interesting is don't get ahead of your plan.
Yeah.
You know, they're really another year away. But they can get there this year. So don't salvage your plan and your farm system to try to touch the playoffs this year. If they don't do that and they get in, that's a double bonus. But if they salvage what they're building just to hopefully get in for a wild card and then they're out quick, that's a step, two steps back. So they'll have that challenge right now. I saw Pittsburgh do that a few years ago. They haven't recovered.
Yeah.
And now you look at the deal they made with Meadows and Glass now, pitching in Tampa now.
Yeah.
You know, you make that deal to get Archer last year. So now you got two guys, one might be a Cy Young winner and the other might be an MVP. You know, so you got to be careful that when it's your time, you do it. But once they hit, and I really believe they're going to hit next year and the year after, they're going to make a run for about 5 years as one of the best teams.
Music to San Diegans' ears there, Harold.
Let's just end on that. That was sweet.
Harold, as always, man, I know you got work to do, especially with that draft coming up. You got a lot of guys to cover. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing your time.
Thanks, Harold.
Gentlemen, my pleasure.
Good talking with you, as always. Harold Reynolds from the MLB Network.
That was Harold Reynolds. That was on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. On the Nominate SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at SDCCU.com/nominate. San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big banking. It's better.
Sometimes there's just not enough time in the day to talk all the sports we want.
I feel reborn. I'm like a phoenix.
Settle in and saddle up. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, before we get started, the Big Five is brought to you by Eco Water Treatment Systems for anywhere you drink water. Scraby?
I need to turn on my mic, but mm-hmm. I am thirsty. I wish I had some Eco Water. Why are you guys looking at me like that?
I thought you said, I am thirsty, and you pointed at Thomas, and I thought something with, like, drinks was going to gum through
no,
my ear.
Can you go get me some water, Thomas? That's what I was really asking. All right, number five. There is a weird injury to a very high-profile player in Major League Baseball, and the Astros are going to be missing him for the next 4 to 6 weeks after Carlos Correa broke a rib while getting a massage. Yeah, you heard that right. Carlos Correa said, quote, I'm extremely disappointed about not being on the field with my teammates. I sustained the rib fracture during a massage at my home on Tuesday. To sustain an injury in such an unusual way makes it even more frustrating. However, I will work hard to get back on the field as quickly as possible to help our team achieve our goal of winning another championship, end quote. That puts two key Astros on the injured list. George Springer was put on the IL with a hamstring injury earlier, a couple days ago. So two of those guys are out. Chris, do you think the Astros are still the best team in baseball without these two guys?
Without those two guys?
Yes.
Maybe not for the moment, but I'm assuming they'll both be back. So the Astros look like the best team in baseball. I believe the Twins have the best record, though, right now. Do they not?
I believe you're right.
So, Houston can make the claim that they're the best. They're going to have to prove it come postseason, but it's a all I can say about the Houston Astros is I hope that the Padres have half the success that they're having with the same plan that the Houston Astros had, because this is one outstanding team. Do you realize they've had two 10-game win streaks this season alone?
Wow, I did not.
Yeah.
I did.
Mean, they win all the time, and they do it with hitting, pitching, defense, and everything. That's a crazy injury, but I will share with you that on my wife's birthday, I'm not telling you how old she is, or that would be the end of me.
I'm not going to
guess. Wouldn't even ask.
Don't even. But we went for massages. And this lady, I think, broke three of my ribs. It was unbelievable. And you know how you're there and you're like, you don't want to be the wimpy guy that says, hey, that's a little too hard.
Yeah.
So you just
kind of
think it
only happened to guys, by the way.
Yeah, you just kind of take it. But, man, I walked out of there. I was like, I'm in trouble. So I could see how this could happen to Carlos Correa. Honestly, I really could.
Wow.
Tony, I had the same lady I had the other day.
I was just getting ready to say, I don't know how in the world you can break your ribs.
Getting a massage.
Well, I'll take you. I'm not going to take you to this place. But
no.
I'll tell your wife about it. She could take you, and then you'll find out how.
I mean, but the question really is, are they still the best team?
Yes.
No, they're not. I don't think they're the best team, because not only are they missing those two, they're also missing Altuve right now. So you're missing three of your biggest
claws. That's a lot of talent out of the lineup.
In your lineup. I also think George Springer was having a unbelievable year before he went down.
Leading the league in home runs.
I don't think this team is the best team in baseball with those three pieces missing. No.
I was going to insert a Robert Kraft joke here, but I'm not going to.
Please don't.
Number four.
Former Louisville head coach and now Greek pro head coach Rick Pitino does not like the playing atmosphere at the games because smoking is off the charts. He said, quote, I smoke cigars on a golf course, but there's nobody else around. But you're in an arena and 10,000 people are smoking and the players are choking. So sooner or later, you got to say, hey, man, we're at an athletic event and I'm going to discipline myself and we'll wait till halftime. And I'm not going to go out and blow my brains out with cigarettes. That's your option. But not when they're athletes and they're a little kids who want to come to the game, but they don't care about young people and the athletes who are breathing it in, end quote. So, Tony, is this a Greek fan problem or a Rick Pitino problem?
It certainly sounds like a Greek fan problem.
Okay.
In the entire arena? I mean, does everybody just smoking cigarettes? And
I guess so.
How much time have you spent in Europe?
I spent a little bit of time. I know everybody smokes cigarettes, but I was outside. I didn't see anybody in a basketball event. I can't imagine being an athlete running up and down a court and the entire
puffing.
And the entire stadium is smoking cigarettes.
That's, there was a time.
Maybe.
There was a time where, I mean, smoking was allowed at American sporting events.
Yeah.
I mean,
It was allowed in movie theaters. It was allowed in airplanes. It was allowed
in restaurants. I vaguely remember that, but
it's crazy.
I can't imagine living in that world right now.
That would be really. And you know, it's funny, it was how we were talking about netting the whole field.
Yeah.
When they put all the smoking rules in,
oh, people freaked out.
30 years ago, people were like, society's going to come to an end if you don't allow smoking in a restaurant.
I have to go outside to smoke my cigarette?
I have to walk outside? Yeah, but now it's pretty well accepted.
I used to be
a... That's a good point. It was like a big deal when they...
Remember they used to have it only on the airplanes in the last five rows, as if that really helped out if you were three rows ahead of those people.
The recycled air didn't have anything to do with
it.
And then these rules were mainly in California at first.
California was one of the first to start doing that
stuff. I remember going someplace else and be like, hey, you can't do that.
Smoke. Yes, we can. Do whatever we want. Oklahoma. We don't care about our health here.
I used to smoke cigarettes like for a couple years in California, obviously, we're never allowed to smoke at restaurants. So one time I went to Alabama, and I was like, smoking or non-smoking? I was like, whoa, I'm going smoking section. This is great. So I sat in the smoking section. It was disgusting. Why? I was smoking a cigarette while I'm eating my burger. Like, what am I doing? So weird.
You just did it because you could that day, huh?
I really did. I was like, I'm going to go in the smoking section. It was disgusting. So anyway, let's move on.
Number three.
Wait, did you even answer this?
I think I did.
Okay.
But you think it's a Greek fan problem?
Yes. This is not Patino being
actually, that shocks me because I just thought both of you guys... I thought one of you guys would have said that this is a Rick Pitino problem because he's not conforming to how they live their lives out there.
He might not be conforming, but I actually understand why he's not conforming in this particular case. All right. Mean, he does... Like you said, you called him Skeletor, right? He probably can't be taken in too much... smoke either.
Yeah.
For his own health.
All right. Skeletor. The Raiders have signed a troubled offensive lineman, Richie Incognito, to a one-year deal, and it didn't come without some pushback by people because Incognito has had a rough few years from being in the middle of harassing then-Dolphins player Jonathan Martin. Then last year, he was placed on an involuntary psychiatric hold after allegedly throwing a dumbbell at another person during an incident at the gym, and then after that, he was arrested in August for threatening to shoot employees at the funeral home handling his father's service. So when general manager Mike Mayock was asked about it, he said, quote, you can't have all Boy Scouts, end quote. He went on to say it's a prove it type deal and they're willing to help him stay in line and keep his life together. So Chris, would you want Richie Incognito in your locker room?
I would not. I would think that there's other guys that can play the game of football at least as well as Richie Incognito that I don't have to worry about all these issues with. And I think Mike Mayock's comment that they can't all be Boy Scouts is kind of stupid.
Good point. Tony?
The question is, do I have a problem with him being...
Would you want him in your locker room?
Probably not. Probably not. But you could see Mike Mayock's conundrum there, right? He has to put up a strong front on the back on the front end, but in the same sentence, it's a prove it deal. So he obviously recognizes that.
What's going to happen when Richie Incognito throws a dumbbell at Mike Mayock?
He's probably going to be released. That's the prove it deal. Like he's probably not getting any money until he reaches a certain amount of time on the team, and that's to me, that's him acknowledging that he knows this is a troublesome signing. And that this gives him an out. Hey, if he doesn't prove it, we get rid of him. Bam. But if he doesn't hold to that, then he's going to deal with a lot of backlash.
We've all talked about how we're willing to give people second chances, but would you say Richie Incognito has had three chances?
He's passed the second chance.
I'm not on the train of you get two chances and you're done. That I said I'm always willing to give a second chance. Doesn't mean in some cases I'm willing to give a third.
All right.
In Richie Incognito's case, I'm not willing to give any more.
Yeah. I mean, Jonathan Martin, his life took a complete turn once that whole thing happened. And it's sad because he remembered he put a gun and all this other stuff. And his life went in that direction after Richie Incognito was making fun of him and teasing him and all that stuff.
And we don't know that that's all what led to...
No, but his life took a turn for the worse after that.
Richie Incognito's fingerprints were somewhere along the line of all of that, but
could have been some other teammates on some.
Oh, there's no question. Guys can be brutal. Locker rooms can be brutal places.
Locker rooms are brutal places.
They are brutal places. Never mind.
I think one of the Pouncey brothers, Marquise, was also involved in that too. So
number two.
Ezekiel Elliott was briefly detained a few weeks ago at a Las Vegas music festival after pushing a security guard, but then was later released. Zeke was trying to access a secure area at the festival, and he allegedly used his body to shove a security guard backward, and he fell over a security fence. Well, that security guard wants an apology. 19-year-old Kyle Johnson told KCBS-TV in LA that he wasn't injured in the incident that led to Elliott being detained, but was disappointed by his actions. Kyle Johnson said, quote, "I wasn't hurt or anything, but just to have someone that you looked up to shove you on the ground over a metal fence, it's not the biggest thing in the world, but really, to say nothing happened, I mean, come on," end quote. Tony, do you think Zeke owes Kyle an apology?
Sure. Sure, he probably does owe him an apology.
He's a decent human being.
That's what most people would do, is say, "Hey, man, I'm sorry," but maybe he's not sorry for pushing him over a fence. He used his hands because you said he used his body.
That's what the security guard said.
I could picture him like boxing him out over the thing, but he actually pushed him.
It says that I haven't seen the video. Here, you guys keep talking. I'll go look that up.
Either way, I think he does. I mean, yes, you push somebody over a fence, you probably should apologize. Period.
Chris?
No, he shouldn't apologize to him. He should just shove and drop people to their knees at will and move on with his life because he's a National Football League player.
Good answer.
No, it isn't a good answer. It's the worst answer I've ever given. Of course he should apologize to him.
I just see this as a guy who's trying to live his fame out a little bit. He's 19 years old.
Why does he have to even ask for an apology? The minute it happened, I would think I would be inclined to say, "Oh my, I'm sorry about that. I meant to push you, but you know, you're bugging me, but I didn't mean to dump you on the ground over a fence. Are you all right?"
I don't know, man. I don't know. I just have a whole... Why didn't he just ask for the apology there? Like, hey, man, you owe me an apology.
By the way, Zeke, I'm watching this video. He's wearing a LeBron James jersey at this festival, and he looks very intoxicated at the same time.
I'm pretty positive he is intoxicated.
Yeah, I can't... They don't actually have him pushing the guy over, so I don't know what happened. Oh, here he goes. He's using his body, and then he just kind of shoulder shrugs him over the fence.
He just flicked him off with like a little ragdoll.
Yeah, and the guy was kind of had a smile on his face. So I don't know about this. I think the guy was happy that he was pushed over by Ezekiel Elliott. I would kind of be happy, too. As long as I didn't get hurt, I think that would be kind of cool to say I was the guy that Zeke pushed over.
Why is that cool?
It's a professional football player.
He's being a jerk.
Yeah, you are a strange individual,
Thomas,
baby.
Would you think it was kind of cool that you were the guy?
If Tom Brady came over and like flipped you over his fence, you still feel the same way about him?
No.
You see this black guy?
You'd be pissed.
Yeah. You see this black guy?
Nobody's going to like being...
Tom Brady slugged me right in the face.
How cool
I am
is
the
that?
Happiest guy in the world.
Zeke,
I hope this never goes away.
Please come and push me over a fence, because I will take it.
I'll tell you one thing. If I knew Zeke, I'd have him over here and do it.
Okay, let's go to the last one.
Tier one.
Because
I would just like to see you go behind over tea kettle, as it were.
That would not be a... I would injure myself somehow very, very badly.
I would like to see it.
Yeah.
Let's trust it out after the show.
If Zeke is here, yes.
No. Tony's a celebrity. He can push you.
Tony, you want to push me over a fence?
I really don't.
All right, number one. We have huge news out of high school basketball.
All right.
LeBron's son, Bronny, and Dwayne Wade's son, Zaire, have committed to play together at Sierra Canyon High School, and everyone is reporting it, and everyone is really excited. So, Chris, are we giving too much attention to kids who haven't even played high school basketball yet?
Not in this case. I think everybody's interested in what happens to LeBron's kid, and probably Dwayne Wade's kid, but I do have a comment on the situation. I don't understand the word commit, is I guess where I'm struggling with this. I know that so much toothpaste has been let out of the tube, there's no way we're ever going to be able to shove it all back in there. But I wish we could get back to a day where you went to the high school that's in your neighborhood, and that's where you went, and that's where you played. You didn't commit. You weren't recruited. It wasn't about playing for your league coach or your club coach or, you know, going here or driving cross town to play there or skirting the rules. You just, wherever you lived, you went to high school there. But I know that's, you know, wishful thinking that's never going to come back. So
I agree with you, but Tony?
That is very wishful thinking.
Oh, I know.
And it stopped like 20 years ago because they were doing that at least when I was in school.
But you just heard how old I was, so now you know that when I was in school, you just went to the school where you lived.
Well, that's the cool thing about it is that some of us did do it that way.
Yeah.
And it was plenty fine. You got as much opportunity as the next guy did. And I kind of wish, in some regard, that it was like that, too.
Yeah, but it's so far away from it. There's no question it's not coming back.
Yeah, we're way too far. But the question is, are we giving up too much attention to kids? In general, maybe. Probably. In this case, no. I mean, you got the most famous person in the world, his son. I think everybody's going to have interest in, especially if he can play. And everything I've seen of him, he can play. So...
It's not like LeBron James tried to take the spotlight off the kid.
Right.
He named him Bronny, for heaven's sakes.
Right.
He didn't have to do
He's
that.
A junior. Or a third. I don't know. Maybe LeBron James is the junior that we don't know about yet. Who knows? But, anytime you give your son and you're as special as a guy as LeBron James is, you can anticipate your son is going to be watched very, very heavily.
But I think it'd be fun to referee a game with those two kids in it. I'd foul them out quickly.
Would you?
Here's the thing is that I get the sense in watching them play is that they are very quiet. Like, they're not the type of player that's going
to play.
They just want to play ball.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm about to tweet out the Zeke Elliott video of him pushing the security guard if you want to see it. 97.3 The Fan SD.
Okay.
That's all for the Big Five from Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
That was the Big Five brought to you by Eco Water Treatment Systems. For anywhere you drink water, your water perfected. Stay hydrated, San Diego.
Once a week, Gwynn and Chris face their toughest decisions in the world of sports.
Now you have an adult decision to make.
Would you rather starts now.
This is going to be a tough one.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Will, would you rather take us home?
I really like that intro.
You like that, huh?
I like that.
That was my...
You play that music, Tony, just sounds sweet. I mean, you sound good most of the time.
Thank you.
That adds to your...
Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right, so every week, would you rather just some hypotheticals to get you guys thinking. Today's pretty basketball heavy. As you could tell, the NBA Finals have just started.
Why are you wearing a Raptors hat?
Love it.
Being from San Diego, is this for a Kawhi Leonard support?
It is for Kawhi Leonard.
Is this jumping on a bandwagon? What is it?
First class bandwagon for sure. The seats are very comfy.
I like your honesty, brother.
It's very
first
comfy.
First class bandwagon.
He's taking heat outside.
I've taken a lot of heat. No,
there's a bunch of
Bay Area
haters in here.
Well, he's saying that he's a bandwagoner.
That's all right. He's a Kawhi fan.
I didn't say that.
I'm a Kawhi supporter.
Believe it.
And I found the hat in my box, and I was like, oh, this is cool. I got to put
what?
It on today.
You just
Wait,
have a
you
hat
just
box?
Had that box?
Yeah,
that
hat
in your box?
Well, I have a huge box of hats, yeah. That sounded really weird.
Let's move on.
Right. What else is in there?
I think we need to get the dump button ready.
Do you have... Oh.
I'm just kidding.
All right.
Do you have a Grizzlies hat in there? A Vancouver Grizzlies hat?
I did have a Vancouver
you
Grizzlies hat.
You seem like you would have a Grizzlies hat.
That was... But it was years ago. It was like high school.
The team was years ago.
Touche.
I don't know where it's at now, but let's get this started.
You couldn't have a brand spanking, crackling new Vancouver Grizzlies hat. The team hasn't existed for 20 years.
eBay.
Yeah, eBay.
All right. So, like I said, the Raptors and Golden State Warriors have just begun. If the Raptors miraculously beat the Warriors...
Miraculously? What kind of bandwagon fan are you?
Not very good one.
Hey, no, I'm putting out the hypothetical.
Okay, I'm sorry.
If they were to beat the Warriors in the NBA Finals and Kawhi Leonard were to win his second Finals MVP, Christopher, would you rather have Kawhi build a super team in Toronto... or have him come back to play on the West Coast?
Well, I think win or not, you can ask this question. Well, of course, for Tony's sake, I'd like him to come out of here on the West Coast. I think he's going to come out on the West Coast. I don't know. He lives out here. I think West Coast.
I just say, I mean, if he were to win, it'd be weird for him to leave, but... All right, Anthony.
He would have
accomplished
it all. He's already accomplished more than they could have possibly asked for, I think, in Toronto, right? I mean, I know they were close to the finals last year, but he's gotten them now to the finals and done what he's done. They can't be disappointed with him anyway, no matter what happens in the series, I don't think.
Of course I want to see him come back to the West Coast. And I don't know if he could make a super team in Toronto. Does everybody want to go? Mind you, basketball is played during like the coldest time in Canada. Do you want to be in that? Where you can have the sunshine and palm trees?
I know,
trees?
But you get Drake rooting for you.
You do have the Six and Drake rooting for you.
You have the wild fans in Jurassic Park.
Got all that. But Kawhi's on the way. He's coming.
All right.
Come on down to the West Coast.
There's no way he's going to be a Clipper. I will bet everything against that.
I can't see it either.
I cannot see
him. And maybe
going
it's just I'm jaded because I've been watching the Clippers trip over themselves for so long.
Me too.
I just need to see it to believe it first.
Kawhi grew up in the L.A. area. He knows where the Clippers are all, you know, like their history. He doesn't want any part of that. I'll bet you. Just put it on tape and then play it the day he signs with the Clippers.
All right, mark
no
that
way
clip.
He'll no way he'll go to the Clippers.
I have a feeling. I don't know. We'll have to see. All right. Earlier today, Juwan Howard, a former Michigan Wolverine and now the head coach of his alma mater, was emotional during his introductory press conference today. So it made me think: would you rather be the head coach or be the play-by-play announcer of your respected sport at your alma mater, Tony?
Would I rather be the coach,
the head coach, or the
what sport?
Of your respected sport that you played. So,
So would you rather be the baseball coach
or the
play-by-play baseball announcer?
I think I'd rather be the coach. I'd rather be out there recruiting and, you know, doing the whole building the program. I mean, I've done it on college football NCAA a few times. I think I might be qualified. No, I'm joking. I'd rather do that. I mean, I love broadcasting. Don't get me wrong. But I like it at the major league level. Don't know if I'd like it at the collegiate level.
College baseball broadcasting is it's a lonely business.
It's a very lonely business.
I've done it, believe me, for like 10 years.
Chris, how about you?
So I'd rather be the coach. And I'm a baseball guy too, so I'd be in the same deal. It's not high profile enough to want to be the play-by-play guy. Now, if you're going to ask me, do I want to be the play-by-play guy of the Dolphins or the coach of the Miami Dolphins, that might be a different question for me because I don't think I'd be anywhere near qualified to be an NFL coach, but I think it'd be fun to do play-by-play for my favorite team. So that question I would answer differently.
Okay. I mentioned earlier, Kawhi, huge shout-out, San Diego State. He has been terrific throughout the NBA postseason and has easily been the Raptors' top player so far. I would say, though, Vince Carter might be the franchise's best and most exciting player ever. So for one season, would you rather see Allen Iverson or Vince Carter in their prime? Chris?
I never got into Vince Carter that much.
Really?
No. I know he does spectacular things and dunks and offensive plays and moves. I don't know that he ever did anything else all that well on the court other than what he could do athletically on defense. Mm-hmm. But Iverson won me over. Okay, Klay Thompson just ran in from the half-court line
literally
without traveling and dunked the ball. How was that not traveling? So I'm going to take Iverson. I think Iverson did a little bit more with the game and more limited athleticism than Vince Carter. Allen Iverson at his tip-top, mm-hmm. the year he got the Sixers to the finals, he was spectacularly awesome. And he was doing it against guys that were twice his size. So I go Iverson.
Averaged 31 a game. He won the MVP that year. Tony, how about you?
I'm going AI.
You're going AI?
I loved AI. And I loved Vince, too. But he wasn't nearly as fun to watch AI. I mean,
they're showing a replay. One, two, three, four.
Ted wasn't even close.
Unbelievable.
Either. AI is the only player still to this day where I actually watched their games on a consistent basis because he was there. It's only been the Lakers in my lifetime, but when he was playing those early years in Philly, I tuned in at 4 o'clock all the time.
I would think also that you could rewatch game one of the finals that year, yeah. in which Iverson single-handedly beat the Lakers.
He did.
And then the Lakers won the next four because they were the far superior team. But that game Iverson had was one of the best I've ever seen.
I love going back to that game because the banter at the end of that game between Kobe and AI was epic. The refs try to get in, and they're both telling the refs, get out the way. We're not fighting.
Let us deal
with
it.
We just talking.
That's right.
Refresh my memory. Was that when he made
stepped
that
over
shot?
Tyronn Lue. Yeah, that made Tyronn Lue famous and for all the wrong reasons.
All right, one last quick one, then we'll wrap up. DeMarcus Cousins will be active for tonight's game. When he'll play, I am not sure. He sustained a quad injury and missed a large majority of the playoffs. So he is a big man, and it, you know, made me think. Based off the history of that position or a power forward, who would you rather start your team around? Tim Duncan or Shaquille O'Neal?
Ooh.
Chris.
The big Aristotle or the big fundamental?
I think if they were both sitting in the room, I would say Shaquille for sure. Because I think Tim Duncan would be all right with my answer. He'd be like, okay, I get it. Shaq would be displeased. I'll be honest with you, I'm still going to go with Shaq. I just think he's a force of nature. Tim Duncan was a great, great basketball player. Hall of Fame level, everything fundamentally perfectly sound. But Shaq was, you could defend him perfectly, do everything right, and he could still power over you and dunk it. There wasn't a thing you could do to stop that. So I would probably start with Shaq.
Tony?
It's the Diesel. I watched Shaq and Tim go at it. There was nothing in those matchups, and Tim did his thing. Don't get me wrong. Tim was more than qualified to go up against Shaq, but there was nothing in that matchup that would make me pick Shaq over, or make me pick Duncan over Shaq. Now, if you would have said Hakeem Olajuwon, I would have taken Hakeem Olajuwon, because that's the only guy, it's the only guy I ever saw make Shaq look like he was just a regular center.
I think the only reason that happened is because they played in the finals when Olajuwon was at the height of his career and Shaq was still very young.
Maybe so.
And Olajuwon swept them, which was really hard to believe at the time. But I think later on, Shaq became such a force that even a great Olajuwon wasn't as good as a great Shaq.
Shaq is the only... I've heard him say out of his mouth that Hakeem Olajuwon is...
Really?
The guy that gave him
the heart.
But I
think it's because of when he played.
Maybe so. Maybe so. But I'm going to have to take his word for it on this one. But that wasn't a question. The question was Tim Duncan or Shaq. I'm taking Shaq.
Me too.
Well, one thing's for sure. They both have a lot of rings combined. So,
indeed.
Talking some baseball. Excellent article on ESPN.com today written by David Schoenfield. Talking about baseball free agents. And Mr. Schoenfield joins us here on the SDCCU fan hotline. And of course, when you're talking baseball free agents, David, a certain name comes to mind here in San Diego, that being Manny Machado. And you kind of went through and rated the performance so far of the free agents. Why don't you start off and tell us all what you think and thought about Manny Machado signing maybe at the beginning and kind of where you think it's gone so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's too early. These are not final grades. It's kind of like the first quarter of your school year, right? You know, but the foundation has been set. Yeah, he's been solid so far. You know, had a little bit of a rough start there in April. I don't know what the perception there was, if he was just maybe trying a little too hard to hit a home run every at bat. I don't know how much the home park maybe is taken away from some of his power, but we've seen the defense. We've seen the positional flexibility. I think there's more good stuff to come here. So I gave it a solid B so far. Much better, I think, than what we've seen from Bryce Harper so far in Philadelphia.
David, explain a little bit. In the article, you talk a little bit about the park effects for as it pertains to Manny Machado. Explain that a little bit.
Well, Machado, obviously Camden Yards is a great home run park. It's not a great park for batting average because the power alleys are so small there. But Machado thrived there. Let me check his numbers here. During his career in Baltimore, 568 slugging, 304 average. His career on the road, 283, 495 slugging. So, you know, we're talking about 100 points in OPS that he gained from Camden Yards. Petco so far, 250, 380 slugging. Very small sample size. Can't read too much into that. But so there was concern, you know, is he a 35-homer guy outside of Camden Yards, or is he more a 25 to 30? You know, time will tell, but right. I'm not quite sure he's that 35-homer guy in Petco.
Yeah, it's hard to be a 35 home run guy in Petco. Let's be honest about it. David Schoenfield is with us from ESPN. You know, to us, David, watching Manny Machado play on a daily basis, the hitting has hardly even entered into it, and I think that's because he hasn't really gone on any kind of big tear.
But it's the defense that has just blown all of us away. We heard how good he was, but now that we see it every day, we still can't believe it. And I also think that he's had an unbelievable effect just on the on just kind of the attitude of this entire baseball team. It's like when the Padres signed Manny Machado, everybody grew a half an inch. Do you know what I'm saying? It was like he gave them a little credibility. The rest of the players all feel a little better about themselves. So I think there something to that part of the free agent signing that needs to be kind of factored in when you rate Manny Machado?
Yeah, no, I can see that. And I know they were hoping for kind of the same effect last year with Eric Cosmer. But, you know, let's be honest here. Manny Machado is a superstar. Eric Cosmer is a nice player. It's a lot different bringing in a guy like Manny Machado, because you are telling your team, we're ready to win now. We've paid a huge sum to get this guy. I think there is something to that. I know there was a comparison made when the Washington Nationals years ago signed Jason Worth, who'd been a great player with Philadelphia, and people thought he was overpaid, but there's a message there. We're bringing this guy in because we're ready to win. So there is some added value beyond just the numbers in signing a guy like Manny Machado.
You know, going through some of the lists that you have for the free agents that signed, one of the more interesting one that pops up is Josh Donaldson. It seemingly has been relatively quiet on the Braves front, yet you gave him a B. Talk a little bit about that one.
Yeah, you know, he's a good defensive player. He's .380 on base. He's drawn his walks. You know, the batting average, the power. I'm not sure we're ever going to see that peak Josh Donaldson again.
Right.
You know, he's 33. He's had some injuries. You know, it was interesting that he bet on himself just taking that one-year deal, you know, because he was injured most of last year, and then hoping, I think, to head into the next offseason and get a multi-year deal. You know, he's been good, but he's not the MVP caliber player anymore. So I don't know if he's going to ever get that big $100 million deal maybe that he was, you know, hoping for one time.
David Schoenfield on the SDCCU fan hotline from ESPN.com. Excellent article. You can check it out online about all of baseball's free agents. What team right now would you say, David, and what player would be the happiest with their new union a third of the way into the season? Which team is happiest? Which players produced the best?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know. If I'm Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, I'm pretty happy with $300 million coming into my bank account.
I guess that goes without saying, yeah.
I think Andrew McCutchen, maybe the Phillies signed him, you know. When he was with the Pirates, he never got over the top, you know, so he goes to a good team, first place. He has a chance maybe to go to the World Series for the first time, and he, you know, got $50 million, which, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at either. So I got to think McCutchen playing in a baseball-mad city there in Philly, he's probably pretty happy with that situation.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I just wanted to ask you real quick, I mean, on the Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell thing, where do you come down on that? I mean, you can't do an article on free agency, I don't think, without wondering why these guys are still free agents.
Yeah, I didn't mention them. I mean, at this point, you know, the draft is coming up next week, so, you know, nobody's going to sign them until next week at the earliest once that draft pick compensation washes away. Yeah, I'm still shocked that nothing happened here. Kimbrel, I get a little. He struggled so much in October. I think he lost a lot of perceived value among the teams, maybe not in his mind. Keuchel's a guy I never understood. I mean, who doesn't want Dallas Keuchel on your team?
Right.
This guy's a warrior. He's a gamer. He's going to go out there and give you 6-7 innings every night. I know he doesn't throw 100. Well, the guy wins. So I think this guy, once he signs, is going to be a huge addition to whatever team gets him.
Yeah. Well, we've been rooting for him in San Diego, but
it's a great fit there. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, tell the Padres we're we're trying to pass along the message. And
don't you think he would make with all those lefties in that rotation, bringing in a veteran lefty like
another
that,
lefty? That's all the Padres need, right?
A better lefty.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, David, thanks for the time. Appreciate you joining us. Good stuff on the article. Look forward to catching up with you maybe a little later on to kind of see where things stand at that point.
All right, guys. Sounds good.
Yep, everything's great. Thank you, David Schoenfield from ESPN there on the SDCCU Hotline, nominate SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll. You can do it daily at sdccu.com/nominate. San Diego County Credit Union, it's not big bank banking, it's better.